In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The word of the Lord from 1 Peter, just read to you, has a very interesting internal structure. It is clearly creedal in the way that it is organized. Indeed, it is most likely a profession of faith spoken in the early church. 5 short verses, and we have the whole second article of the Apostles' Creed. Peter states that Christ suffered once for sins, he the just one for us the unjust ones. Peter states that Christ was put to death in the flesh, and then that he was made alive in the Spirit by the Holy Spirit. Peter continues by saying that Christ descended to preach to the spirits in prison. He descended into hell to proclaim victory. And also that he was resurrected, that he ascended to heaven, and that he sits at the right hand of the Father with all authorities and powers subject to him. What a nice creedal text. This text clearly has it all. The basic facts of the atonement, the basic facts of Christ's objective justification of the whole world. But wait, this is not enough. There's more in this text. You see, what meaning is there to Christ's atoning work, to objective justification, unless it is delivered to man, unless you and I receive the benefit of it? By way of parallel illustration, what meaning is there to Congress's Tax Relief Act of 2001? In fact, who gives a rip about it, unless you and I are going to receive one of those $300 or $600 checks? So our Lord God, speaking through the lips of Peter, makes sure that we understand that the objective justification of the world, the forgiveness of the sins of man, are for us, pro nobis in the Latin, for us, by speaking of baptism. Baptism, which the Lord in this text calls an antitype of the flood. Baptism, which now saves. On the wall of my seminary office, seminary study, just above my desk, in a place where I can easily see it, are 2 things. Number one, a rather nice crucifix made out of wood and metal that came from the Cross of the Woods, which is up in northern Michigan and happens to be the world's largest outdoor crucifix. And right below the crucifix on my wall is my baptismal certificate, showing that I was baptized on January the 5th, 1947. That was not an adult baptism. At Hope Lutheran Church in Toledo, Ohio. And Hope Lutheran is now a member of congregation of the ELCA, but that in no way depreciates, hopefully, the baptism. You know, if I had nothing in my office except that crucifix and that baptismal certificate, if I didn't have any books, if I didn't have any student papers, if I didn't have any student incomplete forms, if I didn't have any of that, and all I had was the Word of God, that baptismal certificate, and that crucifix, I would have it all, absolutely all. Because you see, baptism and that crucifix go together. Sometimes I don't think that you and I really understand what it means to be baptized. Often we think of it as a one-time event occurring somewhere in the past. Sometimes we think of it as a solo event. This was my big day. instead of thinking of it in terms of a corporate event, being baptized into the body of Christ as well. Sometimes we think of baptism in terms of just the forgiveness of original sin, but not our continuing daily sins. Sometimes we disconnect baptism from repentance, and we forget that we are called daily to contrition and faith and to newness of life. Maybe we don't understand baptism because we don't understand our true, total depravity. Maybe we become sort of hardened to that by reading the newspapers and watching the television and seeing all the sin of the world. Yeah, sin exists, so what? In a church that I preached in not long ago, the congregation used the TLH, and in the confession of sins, the congregation was vacant. In the confession of sins, where the hymnal says, "I, a poor, miserable sinner," the prior pastor had ordered the blacking out of the words "poor, miserable." So when that congregation confessed its sins, they confessed, "I, a sinner." But you see, the truth is that every one of our thoughts that is sinful and every one of our actions that is sinful is a horrid offense against God. And we deserve nothing but hell. So indeed, we are poor, miserable sinners. And if we understand that, perhaps we then understand baptism. Baptism, you see, is a matter of identity. It's a matter of that creedal identity set forth in the text. We're baptized into Christ, not just generally, but into his suffering, his death, his descent into hell. We're baptized into his resurrection and into his ascension. The narrative of Christ in baptism now becomes our narrative once and forever. Look around you, because what you see is the baptized community. What you see is the body of Christ. You see, you individually, but also together, have received nothing other than the very life of God. Your true identity is found here, individually and corporately, as the baptized. Your identity is no longer who you are according to the flesh. You've been baptized into this one faith, into Christ. Have you ever thought that you are in a very real sense closer to those sitting around you now and to me than you are to your own flesh and blood, your own family, who have rejected Christ and are unbelievers? That's the beauty of baptism. Years ago, there was a TV program called The Twilight Zone. Now I'm really dating myself. It was hosted by Rod Steiger and was totally sci-fi, science fiction. In one of my favorite episodes, the camera focused upon a very nice family in a very nice large living room, having all the comforts of home. And this was in the 50s, and there was a television, there were lovely pieces of furniture, there was food available on the tables. It was absolutely a beautiful setting. But all the four members of the family were doing was complaining. "This is awful. This is horrible." And they were crying. And we couldn't make any sense out of it until the camera backed away. And as the camera backed away at the end of the show, finally, vertical bars appeared and a sign on the bars saying, "Humans." And then as the camera backed away further, we could see the aliens looking in through the bars to see the humans in the zoo. Baptism into Christ breaks down that zoo cage. It frees. It removes our identity as captives and gives us new identity as free in Christ. It makes us part of Him. It creates new community. It gives us new life. It gives us security. It gives us confidence. It gives us gladness. It gives us boldness. For indeed, we are baptized into Jesus Christ's victory. So be comforted and know that you are the baptized. In Jesus' name, amen.